Welcome to Gear Vlogs in the News podcast with my current guest, Midnight Madness 4x4, aka Charles Wagner. Hi, Charles.
Hey, Mario. How's it going, man? Thanks for having me.
Thank you, man. So basically, you run your channel is about tough trucks, I guess?
Yeah, tough trucks and monster trucks and mud trucks. Pretty much any off-road event I like to attend, I like to record. So that's pretty much what it's about, off-road racing.
Okay. How did you get involved in it? So a little bit about your background.
Well, I started getting really into monster trucks in 2000 with Monster Jam and just became a big fan of it. Mm-hmm. And I started racing tough trucks in 2003 with a Subaru wagon and just took off from there pretty much and been recording events since like around 2005 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay, so kind of like trying to pull up your website here, so give me a second there. But like, usually is it really expensive to getting into tough trucks or?
Not really. Well, it depends what your definition of expensive is, because you can buy a pre-built tough truck that's used up that might need some repairs for about $500, but if you want to build one from the ground up,
mm-hmm.
and you have the know-how or the friends that can help you out, you can build one for less than $1,000.
Okay. I think I remember seeing on one of your videos, you mentioned like the two most competitive vehicles are usually the Jeep Grand Cherokees and you said the Ford Rangers?
Yeah, the Jeep Cherokees and the Ford Rangers.
Okay, like any particular specific years are better than the others, or?
Well, for the Jeep Cherokees, you would want to aim for around the 1992s to 2001s because that's where the high-output inline straight six cylinders are, but it's not really a requirement because it's not that much of a power difference. But for the Ford Rangers, I'm not really seeing, I would say around 1985s to 2000s also would be the best years to get one of them for tough truck racing.
Okay. Because I was seeing the like on some of your videos. I'm gonna pull up your website so people can check out your website. So give me a second to transition to that real quick, but we can still talk. Okay. So here I got your website up, your YouTube channel, which is Midnight Madness 4x4. And yep. Links to Charles's website or YouTube channel and all of his websites will be in the video description down below. So if you want to check them out, so definitely check them out. Give them a follow. Show them some support. Show them some love, as they say. it also looks like you do a little bit of IR racing online. So you're also kind of like a gaming channel too.
I'm trying it out here and there, but when you say that's called iRacing.
iRacing, okay.
Yeah, it's like a simulation form of racing, and I'm also trying out a set of Corsa right now during the times we're at right now, being stuck at home, if you know what I mean.
Oh yeah, I know what you mean. So how's the pandemic affected you? It's like, I mean, like, you've been stuck at home or work-wise, can't go to work, or?
Yeah, I still work. I did have to stay home for 2 weeks because I was in contact with someone and a location where someone was tested positive. But I'm going to be finishing up my stay-at-home order of 2 weeks in about a day or two so I can go back to work.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. That's... Fortunately, I'm not in your predicament. I've been stuck in stay-at-home for the last 3.5 years, so that's my... So, as everyone else is complaining, it's like, that's nothing. That's normal for me.
Yeah. Gotcha.
You
know,
welcome to working at home. Why do you think I started my YouTube channel? It's because of the fact I was getting bored.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I basically, for me, for those of you who don't know or are new to my channel, I spent a good 8-10 years turning a wrench. Before that, I was in the corporate life, and, you know, before that, obviously, I went to trade school to be a technician, basically, but not one of those paid trade schools. I went through a county-supported trade school, you know, for my training, and just kind of like went full circle and got into the hobby. But then around late 2014, I noticed that my dad was getting older, whatnot, and said it was a little too much for my brother to take care of both of my parents. So I made a decision to walk away from my job to stay at home and help take my brother take care of my parents.
So, yeah.
So doing that, and usually I would be on night shift for most of the part, and that's kind of like how my channel got started. Was like, okay, I'm up in the middle of the night. What am I going to do? You know, and gearhead's going to do what a gearhead's going to do. I'm going to start making videos.
Yep.
So did that. Okay. So I'm looking at your website here. Any particular videos you want me, maybe I can pull up that you want to recommend?
That's really, up to you. If you have any, favorite videos you want to pull up,
Well, I actually kind of like this one. This what is a truck, tough truck video. I'm not sure if you can see it on the stream or not, but I'll let's see if I can share. Oh, it's kind of weird to show it, but I'll tell you what's happening. I'll pull it up right now, and I got kind of muted, so. I don't want to be any copyright claims or anything, so...
That's all right. I don't really like to hear my voice anyways.
So I got some trucks obviously going through some jumps right now. Look, almost kind of like dirt drag racing almost.
Kind of, but it's more of an obstacle course kind of racing.
So I noticed on some of the videos that I've been seeing that it looks like they go through the circuit like 2 times around, or is it more times or laps?
Well, it's different every event. Some events will have a time trial. Some events will have head-to-head racing, which is 2 at a time. First across the finish line wins. And then they'll even have, in some circumstances, have an open wheel racing, which can have like 4 at a time and do like 5 laps around the course. And the first person across the finish line after 5 laps wins.
Hmm. Okay, that's kind of cool. Yeah, I'm going to pull back to this one section that you got to tell me. So it's not necessarily tough trucks anymore. There's look like I'm looking at a picture that's coming up of a Crown Vic.
You mean that white car that went over the ramp and the airbag went off?
Yep.
That was a Lincoln Town Car, actually.
Okay.
Lincoln Town Car Executive. And that thing was a freaking boat.
I know about those boats.
It was probably the best airbag explosion I ever heard.
Now, this brings up...
Go ahead.
This is the thing that brings me up. It's like, obviously, there's some kind of event. Are there any kind of like safety requirements that they want you? Like, I mean, like in demolition derbies, I know they say they have you remove all of the glass out of the cars and you have to have a roll cage or something. So, what are there any safety requirements or minimums?
Yes, you gotta have a helmet and neck brace, fire extinguisher, and seatbelt, of course. But if you remove the glass in Tough Truck Racing, you have to have a roll cage. Because I actually have a video of this on my channel. I can't remember if I have the name still as a... I think if you look up Harrisburg Tough Trucks, you'll see what I mean, but... There was a Black Ford Explorer driven by Rodney Keller in 2003, and he had no roll... I think he just had a roll bar, that was it, behind him, but no complete roll cage, no glass, and he ended up rolling over vertically, not sideways, and crushed the cabin of where he was. He wasn't hurt, but... And he got really, really lucky. And if I'm not mistaken, after that crash, I heard that after that rollover, that they made it a law that if there is no glass in a race car, you have to have a roll cage now, by law.
Wow. Okay, well, if the vehicle's still road legal, yeah, that makes sense. But you know, it's like you're asking for trouble. Personally, I think you're asking for trouble if you didn't, you know, but that's just me.
Yep.
I'll
see if I can find that video for you.
Yeah.
But if yeah. not, with
well, we the reason why, well, one of the reasons why I'm kind of wondering, like, I've seen in the videos that a lot of them leave the airbags in there. I'm like going, wait a minute. Airbags are worth about undeployed or worth maybe like $200 a piece. I mean, couldn't you yank those things out and sell them for more money to put back into the car?
Well, not only that, people just forget that they're in there. And sometimes even just removing the fuse, they think that removing the fuse for it will keep it from exploding, but they're dead wrong.
Yeah.
It'll still go off sometimes.
Yeah, you know, it's like, you ever seen those Russian videos where the guys take the airbags, they have somebody sit on one and they ignite them?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've seen some of those, but I got the link here. I'm about to post it in your channel or in your chat.
Okay, let me pull that up. Okay, I'm looking. Hey, Into the Bush. Okay. I see Into the Bush, one of my longtime viewers is here. I'm going to type in and say, hey, Bush. We're talking about the YouTube chat, live chat, or are we talking on Discord?
Oh, I can send it to you in Discord if you want me to.
Yeah, probably that'll be easier.
Okay.
That way I can copy it and paste it in here into a new window. So for those of you that are listening to the audio version of this, head on over to my Gear Vlogs channel to if you want to see some of the visuals on this one. Not sure if I can all that fun stuff. Okay, got that. And this is one of your videos, right?
Yep.
Okay, so I don't have to worry about no funny.
No copier.
Okay. No, the other one is I'm worried about like music and whatnot. It's like YouTube is getting crazy on some of their stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. We got it queued up here. Let me pull it back up. Okay, I'm going to pull it up right now. I'm going to transition over to that right now. So this one, you want to talk? I'm getting ready to queue. I'm not sure if you have the video queued up or not. I'm about ready to start it if you want to follow along.
Oh, you can go ahead. I'm good. Okay. I pretty much know the video by heart because this is the video that got me into the Tough Truck Racing and the guy who got me into it as well, because I bought my first tough truck off of him for okay. $300.
Okay, here we go. I'm going to press play. I got the video on full screen on going through to the stream, and I'm going to press play right now. So here we go. He's up. It looks like he's up at the starting line for those who are just listening to the audio. And let's see if I can get the audio up here.
Ford Explorer. Oh, now we're getting big time. First run on this thing.
But here comes the crash. And that's why you need a roll cage.
And he crawled out.
Yep.
Let's just say that guy is one lucky SOB.
Yep. Oh, yeah, he did have a roll bar in the back.
But not for the front. Oh, man.
But that was back in 2003.
Okay. So back from 2003. So, yeah, that's definitely... Well, let's see. Some of the racing that I used to do back when we were turning a wrench, we would do a lot of... work with hill climbing races, basically. The event organized, not like necessarily dirt, but it was actually the event organizers would pay the state of Nevada the permit fees for a specific weekend for this road in, what was it, like Virginia Hill, Nevada, just outside of Carson City. It's like an old mining silver town up in Nevada. There's a one section of road, which is about 4 or 5 miles, windy, twisty curves. So basically, it's like a time trial. Basically, you know, mm-hmm. we send people off, you know, from the starting point and the completion. By the time they would get up to the top of the hill or end of the course, they would have to go drive through the town, back through the back way. So it's kind of like a U-shaped
course,
basically. But it was like only the route that we would take was basically designated a bus truck route, basically, because the other way would be two sharp corners for semis and tour buses to go through. So this is like a truck route, business route, whatever you want to call it, but never got used. So every year they would put on this event, and one year we had where the guy was in a Ferrari 348 challenge car, and he was giving a guy a ride along. Car had a roll cage, everything, but as he's going through the course, tire blew out, lost control, flipped it, winds up going off road. Luckily, went off road on the side that was like an open field instead of off of a cliff. It landed on its roof, but you know, the same thing, you know, it's like the roll, you know, cage kept the whole car from collapsing completely, but you know,
you'd be surprised how much a roll cage can save your butt. Did you ever see what happened at Pikes Peak with an Evo?
Yeah, the silver one. Yeah, the barrel roll
flying off the cliff.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
But, and they were going like 100 miles an hour, probably.
Oh, yeah. But now, I guess, the Pikes Peaks, now they said now it's all paved now. Yeah. All the way up to the top. So that kind of like takes the fun out of it a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
But it happens. So I'm going to actually pull up your Tough Truck website right now. So let me pull that up. So basically, updates here, you talk about what Tough Truck is. I like your you explain kind of the rules, stock, modified, two-wheel stock, four-wheel stock, talk about penalties, stock class, video, looks like, I'm not sure what that video is, modified class videos.
Looks like I'll have to fix the website a little bit. For some reason, the videos are overlapping the text for some reason.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah.
And then you, I guess, post, you have a second where you post a video of the month section.
I haven't done that lately, though.
Okay. Then these are the states that you know of, at least that you've attended and are in your region.
I've attended a lot of states, but they also have it on the West Coast.
Yeah, definitely I'm going to have to start checking that out, and maybe just for anything, just attend it as a spectator. If it's within normal driving distances for me, I'll definitely go check some of the races out.
I've seen a really awesome event in California on YouTube. I think it's called Del Mar, California. I could be wrong, but they have stuff like trophy trucks, stuff that's built like trophy trucks, pre-runners.
Right.
And they're catching like 15 feet of air on their aftermarket suspensions.
Right. Hold on a second. Okay, got back there here. I was pulling up some stuff. It's Del Mar. When I think of Del Mar, that's usually I'm going to have to guess. It sounds like Southern California, because that's where a lot of like the big fab shops and, you know, those
Baja
guys are down there. But we got them up here too. But the guys that I've seen up here, they're more like the 4x4, go to the 4x4 park, rock crawler types. I got like a neighbor, one of the paths that my brother and I go onto, or at least he used to be around. There was a house resident or a group of guys would have their trailers, and you'd see their Ford F-250, 350s, you know, all modified, as well as their Jeeps, you know, and you can tell that they're set up for rock crawling, how the exoskeletons are, and the long travel.
And I'm downright jealous of the West Coast guys. They got some really awesome racing down there. If I was down there racing, I'd be racing Baja, no questions asked.
It's definitely fun, but you know, all of that stuff. You know, it's kind of like when we were talking earlier this week. I was like, there was a video that I saw of a guy who picked up a Toyota. 2016 Toyota Tacoma pre-runner that was hammered in the front end, and he picked it up. And he said he made it after doing months of research. He bit the bullet, bought the truck, got the truck, came out of Nevada. He's based in Utah, and he started posting pictures on his Instagram about him, you know, working on it, you know, trying to get it back to road legal, basically. And then it turns out he goes, "Oh, this is so-and-so's truck." And somebody tagged the previous owner of the truck. And she goes, "Yeah, that was mine. I was driving home late night, fell asleep at the wheel, went off-road, and, you know, nosed it into a ditch, basically." So the front end just, like, you know, caved in. And so basically he just started making, repairs. He says, "Yeah, the hood was wasted. Come along cables, a tree, started pulling out the, radiator support and whatnot." And surprisingly, he was able to still use the fenders. He just had to throw a new hood on and got that going. So he had to get all of that stuff done. He had to replace all the airbags because for it to be legal, you know, he had to go through all of that stuff. So he did everything he could to make it road legal to pass inspection. Did that, and then he started doing the modifying stuff to where he added the, you know, the pre-runner Baja wide body flares. I don't know if he did a 3.5-inch or a 6-inch body flares, fender extensions and bed extensions, but it's just something about the look of them, you know. that makes it different. So it's like, he got me thinking. It's like, I went to the, finally found the website of the company. It was called Fiberworks with ERX, I think. And I was looking at some of their stuff. I'm like going, this is a potential. Let's see. You know, they have like $1,700 of a complete kit. You know, for, as an example, they take like a Ford F-150 and, you know, add the stuff. I'm like going, okay, F-150s are very common. Find one that's really hammered up at Goparts that, okay, might be fun to build something like that. You know, but.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there was that. All that fun stuff. So, there any events or races you got coming up?
From the looks of it, June is wiped out. I could be wrong. There might be an event or two coming up, but as of right now, everything's getting canceled. I might have the Bloomsburg four-wheel jamboree coming up in July, but don't even know what's going on there. Mm-hmm. To be honest, so I'm not even sure if I will be racing this year. The most I might be doing could end up just being recording events. I honestly don't know.
Yeah, and kind of like kind of same boat, somewhat of you, but for me, it's like being able to go to car events to cover cars, which obviously that's not happening. How the normal, I should say, per se, between the state restrictions saying that them telling us, you know, to stay at home, so unnecessary travel, all that stuff. I get it for they want to contain the stuff, everything, but reality, people need to get out.
Yeah, and, about a month ago, I went on a group motorcycle ride and everything went fine.
Yeah.
Exactly. Just picking and choosing your battles, pretty much.
Exactly. And whatnot. So I'll be kind of glad when they start lifting up the restrictions a little bit and I can actually get back out and actually filming cars and shows and interact with other, you know, gearheads. Okay. So, you were building a modified truck with a buddy of yours?
Yeah. My friend Brad Schenk is helping me with my new modified Dodge Ram 1500. It's pretty much a skeleton truck right now. It has just the frame and entire roll cage. But, yep, that's... And it has a AM... No, not AMC. Is it Mopar? Magnum 360, that's what it is. Fuel injected.
Okay.
And whenever you step on the gas on that thing, it spins all four tires. I'm surprised it doesn't pop a drive shaft on the ground.
Okay. So this one's obviously fuel. So that brings up a good question. On the trucks that are competing, is there a mix? Is it like 50-50 between carbureted and fuel injection, or...
Well, with modified, you're pretty much almost open to do pretty much what you want with a modified tough truck.
Okay.
And some will run a carburetor. I know when they do run a carburetor, they like these old carburetors that are called Predators. I don't know much about them, but from what I'm hearing, they're the carburetor to have if you want to run that.
Okay. Obviously, first, when they mean stock, they mean like what the vehicle came off the assembly line, whatever motor, fuel injection, or carbureted, whatever bone stock for whatever the motor came equipped with, yeah. Right?
There is some leeway with what you can do to a stock vehicle, like bolt-ons, like shocks, lift kits, leaf springs, or... If this vehicle make and model had a V8 before and you're currently running like a four-cylinder, you can drop in a V8 as long as it's the same make, I believe. There might be some events that will let you go to any kind of a V8, but from what I understand over here, you have to keep it as the same make.
That brings up an interesting question. So, let's say I were to take like a F-150 and drop in a supercharged 5.4 Lightning motor in it.
Mm-hmm.
No, so a supercharged, basically a supercharged engine, or that's the rules.
That's a pretty good question. I don't know. With it being an F-150, you might be able to get away with it. I'm just not sure if it's because if it's a F-150 Lightning that you would have to keep that motor in that truck. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because the F-150 and the F-150 Lightning is two different kinds of vehicles.
Or models, gotcha. So they're specific down to the model specific then, gotcha.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Because I know with the Cherokees and the Grand Cherokees, the regular Cherokees only had four cylinders and six cylinders.
Right.
But the Grand Cherokees have the six cylinder and the V8.
Right.
You can't take them. And from what I understand, you can't put the V8 into a regular Cherokee over here.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, definitely on that one. So.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that brings up a good question. So, what's more popular, like powertrain, gas or diesel?
In
tough trucks.
Tough trucks, gas. Yeah. Gas. Hands down.
Okay, I was thinking maybe possibly, maybe torque wise, that you could benefit from the torque from a diesel, but.
But you also have to take into consideration the size of the vehicle and the course.
Good point. And a lot of these places are like in stadiums, it looks like, from the videos I've seen. Or are they more like.
Yep.
Stadiums and or fairgrounds.
Yep. And that's why I actually have my CJ7 for the smaller events. It's a small vehicle, but it came with a V8. So I can run that thing in low gear and punch the gas and just slide it around the corners in some events. But if you're not careful, it's going to end up on its lid, which I have done once before.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. So basically, if somebody wanted to build it, maybe in theory they could start off getting into the sport for about, let's say, $1,500. It was maybe a good starting range.
Yeah, that's pretty much what my Cherokee is based off of. It was about $1,500 to $1,000 to make. It's a 1992 with a inline six with a roll cage, Cooper tires. And, that's pretty much all it has right now for modification, well, as far as building it.
Is there, any weight requirements of how much the vehicles need to weigh, or minimum, or maximum?
No, I don't believe, let me think here.
Because I'm telling you, I was thinking, okay, I get myself, a 92, Jeep Cherokee. I gut the whole entire thing, remove all the plastic panels, leave the glass in, one seat, maybe put in a roll cage, for added safety.
For me, a roll cage is a no-brainer, but I took the seats out of it, most of them, except for the driver's seat, but I do want to get a more... safer seat in there because injuries have happened because of these kinds of seats to other people.
Mm.
But,
so like a good aftermarket racing seat or something I don't know, it's like a, one seat company that I used to sell? Corbo seats. I'm not sure if they're any good or not for your type of racing.
That might actually be the seat that's most preferred around here, the Corbosa, or how you pronounce it, but I do recognize the name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're definitely. It was a company I used to a long time ago. I used to when I had an online parts business. I used to sell a lot of their seats for them. So it's like all of my local customers were, you know, they were more of the street racer types. And so, yeah, it's like it was good. They were a good company. They were based out of Utah, basically. Who knows where they were actually getting the seats, if they were importing them from Europe or Asia, I don't know where. But they were headquartered in Utah. It's like I would call them up. It's like, you have them in stock? I go, yep. Can I get it in this fabric? Blah, blah, blah. So they said, yep, yep, yep. Okay. Okay, here's my credit card number. Ship it. And a day later, I would get it because, you know, California to Utah is like maybe one day trucking, you know, freight trucking. And then I would get a seat and shoot it, you know, call up the customer and said, okay, where do you want the seats delivered? And, but yeah, good company to deal with. So, and they have a nice large selection of lines. Plus, then they have the custom seat brackets if you need it or whatnot. So, that's definitely a way to go. So,
yep.
Cool. Okay. So, anything else you want to promote as far as, events, websites, organizations, socials?
Nope, I'm just happy to be here pretty much, and would like to thank you and thank you for having me and my sponsors, Daimler's Tire Services and Godshall's Custom Machining for helping out with my with building my tough trucks.
Okay, definitely. If you can later on, if you can forward me their website links information, I'll add it to the video description down below. So if you're watching this YouTube channel right now, you can head up down to the video description down below and you can find all of Charles's website links, and I'll put some of his sponsored links in the video description. No, this is not a paid endorsement for these companies. They sponsor Charles, so I'm doing this to help him out and his sponsors out. So that's how things work around here. We all help each other out.
Yep.
So I'm not getting rich off of this, but it'd be nice to one day. Okay, man. So let me build up here. Oh. Come on. Boom. Here we go. Back to here. So, if you're going to do a quick out call for this, if you're watching this video on YouTube, be sure to hit the like button, leave a comment down below, follow Charles on his website, and if you want to get updates from me, head on over to gearvlogs.com. Sign up for my newsletter so that way I can create a news blast update service so you can be notified, because I'm not sure if YouTube is notifying my customers or my viewers of this podcast. So be sure to check out the video. I'm going to do now display a quick end screen if I ever get to it. Come on, here we go. Boom. And I'm going to transition here to this. We are